Several weeks ago, I was visiting with an individual, and he made the comment that someone where he had been a member of a congregation said to him, "You're going to have to realize that what we have today is not your daddy's church." Well, I think I know what people mean when they say, "It's not the church I grew up in. It's not the way it used to be." But the very fact that people would make such a statement as to show that someone, some individual, dictates or is the head in any way of the church shows that we have missed a very great and important truth. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, Jeremiah, of course, spent most of his life trying to persuade a stubborn, rebellious people to repent and turn to God. And Jeremiah says, according to chapter 6 and verse 16, that what God wanted his people to do was to come and to walk in the old paths, wherein is the good way. And they said, "We will not." I know often today people say to me, "Well, what you believe is old-fashioned. It's out of touch. It's not what people want to hear today." Do you know, if you go back throughout all the Bible, that one thing that is not new is the clamor and the call that people have always had for people to speak to them smooth things. Speak unto us things that Paul said will tickle our ears. Tell us what we want to hear. And make us feel that regardless of what we do, we're okay. The people spoke to Jeremiah later on and said, "Well, let us tell you something, Jeremiah. You want us to go walk in a way that you say God has prescribed long ago. We want you to understand something. God does not care. He either doesn't care or he just doesn't see what's going on. So we are free to do as we please." In the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 28, the wise man looked at what was going on in his day. If you're a student of the Old Testament and of ancient history, then you realize that God placed great stock and he intended for his people to give great attention to the ancient landmarks. And he called for them in Proverbs 22, "Do not remove the ancient landmarks." I've often thought, when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan, when they were coming into the promised land, they had taken 12 stones and had set them on the bank of the Jordan, and they were to remain as a sign of all that God had done to bring them from Egypt throughout their wilderness wanderings and now into a land that he had promised them and led them to. And here we hear him saying, "Don't remove these ancient landmarks." Have you ever noticed in our times today how many landmarks are removed? Now we live in a time where people are calling for us to destroy monuments, things that have been in existence for hundreds of years, that speak to our history. Now don't get me wrong. Not every landmark in our country today is about something that was great or honorable. But whether it was good or bad, landmarks stand to remind us of the journey that human beings have made. And when we remove the ancient landmarks, we will pay a high price. Throughout all of history, God had a plan. Paul says in the book of Ephesians that before God ever created the heavens and the earth, before the very words that began the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning, way before then, God had already determined that a time was coming when Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, would come to die upon an old rugged cross, and he would save his people from their sins. Do you believe today that this ancient landmark is under attack? You really believe today that people understand what an important and powerful thing it is to believe in the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? People today are telling me one God's as good as another. One religion's as good as another. One way's as good as another. But the ancient landmark still stands to say, let's go back. Back to the old rugged cross. Back where we can find a way that is right and cannot be wrong. I want to say today that it troubles me greatly that I am convinced that if Jesus came in the flesh today, if he walked into most worship service today, wherever we are, whatever so-called religion we might be, if he walked in today, what he would see would not resemble what he died for on that old rugged cross. You see, on the day of Pentecost, the kingdom came, the church was established. Everything that had been prophesied throughout all of history, everything in the Old Testament was pointing to a great day. There's a great day coming. A great day came on the day of Pentecost, when for the first time in all of creation, repentance and remission of sins was preached in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter pleads with the people on that day, this one that you crucified, this Jesus that you hung on that cross, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. And he hath raised him up from the dead. Even though you, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, crucified him on that cross, all hope of forgiveness, all hope of eternal life, is centered in Jesus Christ. And the message must be Christ. Jesus the Christ. Yesterday at a funeral, the speaker made this statement. He said, and you've heard some of this before, there is something in that name. Do you believe there's something in the name of Jesus? Yesterday he asked the group, repeat that word. And I think I'm going to ask you to do it this morning. Can you say that word, Jesus? Can Jesus. Y'all say it?
Jesus.
Can you say it again?
Jesus.
Can you say it again?
Jesus.
Okay. They got louder when they said it. You think there really is something in that name? In that name, there is hope, there is mercy, there is grace, there is forgiveness, there is peace, there is healing, there is light and hope. We live in a dark world, but the name of Jesus, in that name, there is power. On the day of Pentecost, As men were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. He's now come. He's died on an old rugged cross. He's been buried in the tomb. He's raised from the dead. He's ascended back to the Father on high. And now the apostles have received power from on high. And they have called men to obedience to the will of Jesus Christ. He is now Lord of lords and King of kings. At his knee, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. But I submit to you that in many ways we're living in new times when men are speaking new things. Let me mention a few. Today, there are people who are preaching a doctrine of finances and earthly gain. There are others who are preaching that old people need to get out of the way and let young people run the church and everything else and have their own values, their own beliefs. We're living in a time today when churches are preaching and teaching that marriage is no longer between one man and one woman. That marriage is not even that important. And what we do is up to us. Values. The home. Children. Being raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Those great values have been removed. The ancient landmarks have been set aside. And man has decided that he will walk in his own ways. And I ask the question this morning. Jeremiah asked it in the book of Lamentation. As he sat and looked at the ruins of Jerusalem, a place where the temple had once stood and it had been destroyed, where God's name had been set, a place where men could be taught about the Almighty God. And Jeremiah watched as people walked by every day, seeing the ruins of Jerusalem. And many of them were still saying, look at this, isn't this great? Look at what happened to those who believed in that God. And Jeremiah said, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And I must ask the question today, how is this new, awe restrained gone, the changing of values, the placing of the voice of the young over the wisdom of the old, how's it working? The world's so much better off. We're so much safer. Violence is down. Crime is down. Murders are down. Love is up. Right? How's it working? What we need today is a renewal of spirit among God's people. We must get back to preaching the cross. Christ and Him crucified, the hope of all the ages. Forget those who want to tell us about financial gain, who want to tell us about political views, who want to tell us about, and I'll say this kindly, but the church and all religion needs to get out of political ambitions. I don't care what your political views are. When people today in our country are building nativity scenes and showing the baby Jesus in a mask, the kind of hate that exists in our world today and removal of the ancient landmarks should appall all people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. You know, in the New Testament, God set up a plan whereby elders would lead the church. And now I find in nearly every place I go that when we do anything, it is the voice of the people, and primarily the voice of the young, that dictates who will preach, where we will go, what we will believe, what we'll stand for. Doctrine is almost an ugly word to many people today. Don't speak to me about forsaking the assembly. Don't speak to me about fornication, or the gays, or lesbians, or any other evil that the Bible talks about. Because we live in a free world today. We have outgrown the dictates and the demands of the Bible. And so I say, I fear that what we have outgrown is salvation. We have turned our back, Isaiah says, and we have all walked in our own willful way. We've left behind the one who can save us, who can heal us, who can bring us grace and mercy and peace. And the message today must be changed. It must go back to the cross. And we must lift up Jesus, the only hope of a lost and dying world. Where do you think we're walking today? Why is the church dying? Why is church attendance everywhere down? Why are people teaching and preaching so many things, and the root of it lies at the feet of the church, that we have stopped proclaiming an almighty God, obedience to Him, and to His Son, through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I submit to you today that if Jesus were to walk into most places today, He would utterly proclaim, "This is not what I came for. This is not what I died for. This is not what will make men free. Shall we go back to the old paths? Wherein is the good way? And preach Christ in obedience to His gospel, that we might be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever." What a day it would be if once again the mighty host, the army of God, would come out of retirement, out of indifference, out of carelessness, out of forsaking our duty, and stand up and defend the great gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope of all men. We cannot walk in a way that leads to life if we do not walk in the shadow of the cross. Let's stand together and sing.